Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Last weekend, a man in Shreveport, Louisiana, shot 10 people and killed 8 children from approximately age 3 to 11. 7 of them were his own. This was the deadliest mass shooting in more than 2 years. And I wanted to know, why do people kill their children? Does this happen frequently? Is it happening more frequently? And is there a difference between mothers who do it and fathers who do it? And with us to break down this issue from a psychological standpoint and a statistical standpoint is a PhD professor at the Johns Hopkins University School of Nursing. She has published more than 300 articles, 7 books, and she's works in the advocacy policy area for decades, collaborating with domestic violence survivors and advocates, healthcare providers, and marginalized communities. Dr. Jacqueline Campbell, thank you so much for being on the show and lending your expertise to this the very interesting topic. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm delighted to try to help.
Yes. I mean, it's not an uplifting topic, but I think it's worth examining. Is it fair to refer to a father's killing of his children as parental filicide?
That's one way to describe it. I think this particular incident resembled family annihilation, which is oftentimes called, or familicide, when one family member murders more than one other family member. And most often in this case, the children actually died, but two women, his wife and his partner, who was the mother of some of the children, were also almost killed. He clearly tried to kill them. He shot them both in the head. So it was more, it resembles, although not exactly, but it resembles many cases of intimate partner homicide, suicide with children being killed, or as we oftentimes refer to it as a family annihilation.
Professor Campbell, you know, and you are in this area and you categorize things in a way that tries to examine, you know, the causes and these types of things. And but before we get into the causes of a father, let's just say a father because this is what happened here. I assume there's a difference in the dynamic when a mother kills her children versus when a father does. Is that true? And if so, what is the difference, generally speaking?
Yeah, generally speaking, it's fathers who do this much more often than do mothers. The few cases where a mother kills her children, she usually doesn't kill herself afterwards, and it's more likely to be immediate postpartum, to have some sort of a postpartum psychosis dynamic, which is very different from when fathers kill their children and usually an intimate partner as well as their children, and then kill themselves afterwards.
So let's just take some maybe bullet points to not to, to use a bad term here, but what are the different dynamics, the different scenarios that you can bullet point for us where a father will kill his children and perhaps his significant other as well? What are the triggers? What are the situations that you typically see?
What we see most often is some form of prior domestic violence against a female partner by that man. And we oftentimes also see that she has filed for divorce. And the other thing we see is that he has threatened to kill himself beforehand or been extremely depressed, as this gentleman clearly was. And there's a gun.
That's a bad combination.
Yes, it's a very, it's a deadly combination. And we worry about that a lot. I've done a lot of research on it, unfortunately.
So putting yourself into the head of this man from Shreveport, he's the father of all these children, lots of children. He is at odds with his significant other. And what is going through his head? Like, talk us through. He's saying, why kill the children? I want to kill myself because I'm depressed. I may want to kill my significant other because she's no longer with me, and that makes me angry. But why the children? These are children that, by all accounts, in the past he, you know, loved and he took care of a little bit and he visited and he at least ostensibly loved them. So what makes him turn the corner as to his kids?
Yeah, absolutely, this is true. And there's never just one thing. Human beings are so complicated. So we don't know what was the immediate impetus for this horrible rampage. But when we have tried to do psychological autopsies on other cases where a man, it's almost always a man, kills his wife or ex-wife and children, there is that those threats of suicide beforehand. And so I have seen a couple of cases where such a man first said to somebody or posted on some sort of social media, my wife is leaving me, so therefore we're all better off dead. So that's that family annihilation kind of perspective. And with him, you know, he went to two different homes to do this. And, you know, there's clearly an element of rage in there somewhere, probably towards the women, not necessarily toward the children. And so one of the other ways that this has been described in for abusive men who kill their partners and sometimes a child is a form of humiliated fury. So a combination of this woman is leaving me, and my understanding is his wife was divorcing him. So my wife is leaving me. This is the most humiliation ever. And so then there's obviously an element of fury with it. One of the things I always worry about so much is that there are guns available to people and who have clearly indicated that they're suicidal. I don't think anybody had any inclination that he was going to kill the kids or necessarily kill his wife. But he clearly was despondent. He talked to a lot of people about how he was in such a dark place, and you know, that everything seemed very dark. And when people say things like that, you really worry in terms of what kind of desperation, what kind of desperate, horrible act they may do.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
We all have talked a lot about personality disorders, and I think a lot of my listeners have read about narcissism and different types of personality disorders. Is there a diagnosis of a personality disorder in many of these men who decide to do this horrible crime?
You know, we don't have very good psychological exams on the majority of these men who kill family members, wives, ex-wives, and or children. And part of the issue there is oftentimes the knowledge we have about these cases is from interviewing family members, people that knew the woman who was murdered, for instance, or rather than knew the perpetrator. And if they did know the perpetrator, they oftentimes do not know of any psychological evaluation that's been done. Now, this gentleman, I understand, was was seen at the VA for mental health problems. He also was prohibited from owning guns because of a gun charge in 2019. So there were some red flags around. We don't know exactly what the psychological evaluation said. So I don't know for sure about narcissism. And that's something that we in the public talk about a lot, but I don't think we have any clear diagnostic criteria for that in our own heads. We do know that people who grow up to be abusive toward partners oftentimes have witnessed domestic violence at home. We do know that childhood trauma, being abused yourself, witnessing domestic violence, we talk about it as adverse childhood events or ACEs. That's something most of us have heard of. These childhood traumas can result in adults having mental health problems, serious mental health problems, being more likely to kill themselves, being more likely to abuse partners, use violence against people. Now, it's not that childhood trauma excuses you for that kind of horrific behavior, or that everyone who's traumatized as a child goes on to kill their own children. I'm not saying that at all, but we do know that that is something that is common in the background of people who use violence against family members.
You know, I was just at a crime convention where there were several women who were very brave in that their children were killed by their significant other, whether it was an ex or a current spouse or significant other, and they were advocating for different changes in the law because they believed that their complaints and the red flags that they brought to the attention of the police and the courts and the guardians ad litem and the people involved in trying to protect the children, they were just ignored. And I'm going to ask you the question, since this is a legal show. I do some domestic violence work. What do you see that the court systems and the professionals are not adequately trained in how to deal with these potential issues?
I absolutely think that's true. And I would wish for judges and the people who do evaluations for custody disputes, the professionals that are lawyers. You know, most divorces go forward just fine, without anyone using violence toward each other, even though there's oftentimes animosity. But to be able to pick up someone who is in a terrible place, who is potentially violent, that definitely needs to happen more. And, you know, unfortunately, in most of our family courts, there's a lot of accusations going back and forth. But we could do more. We could order more psychological exams for people, make sure that there's not psychopathy among someone, and I'm not saying that this gentleman was a psychopath. We do not know what his mental health diagnoses were. But more could be done to try and objectively find out what is really going on with some of these cases. And some of these domestic violence cases, it is at divorce that things can go terribly wrong.
And I will say just two things in my experience is that in many cases, the judges say, so there's domestic violence between the two of you, but I don't really consider that when I figure out custody, and when you really don't use that word anymore, but parenting time and all of those things. And I sit there and I say, why wouldn't you consider that? Because if somebody is domestically violent to their significant other, particularly in front of the children, what more horrible thing can a child be exposed to other than, you know, physical or sexual abuse, of course. So, you know, and like you said, watching your parents, get into a physical altercation has to permanently rewire your brain in some cases. And so I just don't think that judges pay attention to that as much as they should and give it the factoring that they really need to give it. And that's just my view. But
I absolutely agree. And I think that judges and lawyers need to have some training as part of their usual training, either in law school or a judicial training. I think that domestic violence judicial training needs to be about more than, you know, who gets a protective order.
I totally agree. Jacqueline Campbell, thank you so much for joining us and weighing in. And I'm going to give out your contact information. Actually, there's a website you can assess. You can look and see if you are in an abusive relationship that is dangerous. And I would highly recommend anybody who is in an abusive relationship not only to get help yourself in all other avenues, but if you know somebody who is in an abusive relationship, give him or her this information, www.myplanapp.org, www.myplan.org.